thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Attaining scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead means seeing one's own self simultaneously. As far as the identity of a living being as spirit self is concerned, there are a number of speculations and misgivings. The materialist does not believe in the existence of the spirit self, and empiric philosophers believe in the impersonal feature of the whole spirit without individuality of the living beings. But the transcendentalists affirm that the soul and the super soul are two different identities, qualitatively one, but quantitatively different. There are many other theories, but all these different speculations are at once cleared off as soon as Sri Krishna is realized in truth by the process of bhakti yoga. Sri Krishna is like the sun, and the materialistic speculations about the absolute truth are like the darkest midnight. As soon as Krishna's sun is arisen within one's heart, the darkness of materialistic speculations about the absolute truth and the living beings is at once cleared off. In the presence of the sun, the darkness cannot stand, and the relative truths that were hidden within the dense darkness of ignorance becomes clearly manifested by the mercy of Krishna, who is residing in everyone's heart as the super soul. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.11, the Lord says that in order to show special favor to His pure devotees, He personally eradicates the dense darkness of all misgivings by switching on the light of pure knowledge within the heart of a devotee. Therefore, because of the personality of Godhead's taking charge of illuminating the heart of His devotee, certainly a devotee engaged in His service in transcendental love cannot remain in darkness. He comes to know everything of the absolute and the relative truths. The devotee cannot remain in darkness, and because the devotee is enlightened by the personality of Godhead, his knowledge is certainly perfect. This is not the case for those who speculate on the absolute truth by dint of their own limited power of approach. Perfect knowledge is called parampara, or deductive knowledge coming down from the authority to the submissive oral receiver, who is bona fide by service and surrender. One cannot challenge the authority of the Supreme and know Him also at the same time. He reserves the right of not being exposed to such a challenging spirit of an insignificant spark of the whole, a spark subjected to the control of the illusory energy. The devotees are submissive, and therefore the transcendental knowledge descends. The devotees are submissive, and therefore the transcendental knowledge descends from the personality of Godhead to Brahma and from Brahma to His sons and disciples in succession. The process is helped by the super soul within such a devotee. That is the perfect way of learning transcendental knowledge. This enlightenment perfectly enables the devotee to distinguish spirit from matter, because the knot of spirit and matter is untied by the Lord. This knot is called ahankara, and it falsely obliges a living being to become identified with matter. As soon as the knot is loosened, therefore, all the clouds of doubts are at once cleared off. One sees his master and fully engages himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, making a full termination of the chain of fruitive action. In material existence, a living being creates his own chain of fruitive work and enjoys the good and bad effects of these actions life after life. But as soon as he engages himself in loving service to the Lord, he at once becomes free from the chain of karma. His actions no longer create any reaction. So, Bhiddhate Hridaya Granthis Chiddante Sarva Samshaya Shriyante Chashva Karmani Drishta Evat Manishare. So in this chapter, in these shlokas, it has been described the benefit of devotional service, the benefit of surrendering unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, the cause of our material bondage is a mode of passion and ignorance, basically. But when one becomes a devotee of Krishna, then one becomes free from the influence of the mode of passion and ignorance. And then he becomes fully satisfied. In the material nature, everyone is always agitated. In the material nature, everyone is constantly trying to enjoy this material nature. And since he is not able to enjoy this material nature as he desires, he becomes angry due to this frustration. So everyone in the material nature is very, very agitated. They may not show it, but actually they all are very agitated. Actually, in the garb of our civilization, we put on a mask of decency. We pretend that we are not agitated, we are peaceful, we are perfectly composed and perfectly disciplined as such. But whenever there is some calamity and we are put into some distress, then immediately our real face becomes exposed or revealed. We oftentimes we notice it. Very big gentleman, nice, he's always very composed. But then all of a sudden he becomes so angry because his desire was not fulfilled. It happens with us also, with devotees also. Sometimes when we don't get the Mahapurusha, we get angry. So, but when we become a devotee, then one becomes prasanna manasa. Evam prasanna manasa bhagavad bhakti yogata. When one becomes engaged in devotional service, he becomes perfectly satisfied. Then, if he doesn't get the place of Mahaprasad, he simply feels Krishna didn't want me to take Mahaprasad today. So he is completely peaceful. He gets the Mahaprasad, he is peaceful, and when he doesn't get the Mahaprasad, still he is peaceful. So that is the position of a devotee. He becomes completely satisfied. And that's a sign of advancement. One becomes satisfied because actually our satisfaction lies inwardly. Our enjoyment of the spiritual enjoyment is actually coming from within. And when one begins to get the taste of this spiritual enjoyment, then internally he becomes very, very peaceful. And when one becomes internally peaceful by attaining devotional service and understanding the science of Krishna consciousness, then bhiddate hridaya granthi siddhante sarva-sanshaya. Then the knots in the heart that bind us to this material nature. We all are tied down to this material nature with our many, many desires. So all these knots are immediately pierced, cut into pieces. And Siddhante Sarva Sanshaya, all the misgivings are also eliminated. Misgivings are also cut into pieces. So these two things are we immediately become free from. Hridaya granthi, the attachments of this material nature, and all the misgivings, all the doubts. We have all kinds of misconceptions about our identity, about the absolute truth, and so on and so forth. So in the material nature, the things that tie us down to the material platform, they immediately become released. And one becomes free from all material attachments or material bondages. Chain of fruit, and then the chain of fruitive actions is terminated. Actually, due to our material attachments, we become bound by the karmic reaction. When we think that we are the enjoyer and we act to enjoy, then we become responsible for our actions. Maybe good actions or maybe bad actions, both actions, both good and bad actions actually tie us down to this material. Good actions may give us happy results, and bad actions may lead us to suffering. But both good and bad actions are cause of material bondage. Because we become liable to suffer or enjoy the reactions of those actions. But when we begin our devotional service, meaning when we begin to render service unto Krishna, with that understanding that we are doing everything for Krishna. So then we do not hold ourselves responsible for enjoyment of the reaction or suffering the reaction. So by offering the results of our actions to Krishna, we become free from the bondage of reactions. When we offer the results to Krishna, or when we act on behalf of Krishna, then Krishna becomes responsible for the reaction. And when Krishna takes the reaction, we become free from the reaction. So the best way to become free from material bondage is to offer the results of our actions to Krishna, or just better still is to act on behalf of Krishna. We must understand that whatever we are doing is actually for Krishna. So when we act with that understanding, with that mood, then we become free from material bondage. So these shlokas are very important. So we must memorize these shlokas and keep them in mind and remind ourselves of this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness. Time and time again. Devotees should always remember these shlokas because they help us to remember Krishna and how to become free from material bondage. So yesterday, as I mentioned, that I will be telling the story of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I explained yesterday, was actually the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. After Parikshit Maharaj spoke, after Parikshit Maharaj heard Bhagavatam from Sudadev Goswami before leaving this planet, then his mother Parikshit Maharaj's mother became very aggrieved that her son was leaving this planet. So she approached him for consolation and the knowledge that would console her heart. So then Parikshit Maharaj told her the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, or rather we can say his realization of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Shukadeva Goswami noted it down. I'm sorry, Sanatana Goswami noted it down. And that is Brihad Bhagavatam. And this book has two parts. Like yesterday I explained that the first part deals with the stages of devotional service, the how one devotee is situated in a more elevated position than the other, like a Brahmin and a king, and then beyond the king is Indra, beyond Indra is Bali Maharaj, above Bali Maharaj is the position of Lord Shiva, and above Lord Shiva is Brahma. Lord Shiva explained that Prahlad Maharaj is more elevated than he is, and then above Prahlad Maharaj is the position of Hanuman. Then above the position of Hanuman is Uddhava, and above Uddhava
is the gopis of Vrindavan. So this way, he pointed out different degrees of elevation of devotional platforms. And in the second part, he described how a living entity goes back to Godhead. So that is the part everybody was willing to listen to. So there was a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. His name is Gop Kumar. And the translation part is all right. So this is, he can't hear.
He has to possibly hear, but not loud enough. Now he turns off
volume. Is it all right?
Yeah.
Today, who is translating today? Guru Shakti.
Guru Shakti. Language change. Two languages, Italian and French.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Who does the Italian? So it's all right now? Huh? Okay. So, there was a cowherd boy in Vrindavan called Gop Kumar. And like all other cowherd boys in Vrindavan, he used to tend the cows in the field and play with his friends. So this way he was passing his time in Vrindavan. Then one day, and when he used to be in Vrindavan, he used to see one man who was a little strange. Like sometimes he would cry, sometimes he would laugh, sometimes he would dance in ecstasy, sometimes he would roll on the ground, crying very piteously. And this man was very affectionate to the cowherd boys. So he was very, very, whenever he would see the cowherd boys, he would embrace them and he would kiss their head. And the cowherd boys also were very affectionate to him, very fond of him. So this cowherd boy would also give him some milk or something to eat, whatever they had to offer. So this way, they knew this man, and they were very fond of this man. But this man to them was very strange, because he barely spoke to them, but he was very affectionate, and he would cry and laugh like a madman. So one day Gop Kumar was alone in the forest of Vrindavan, and he all of a sudden met this man. And this man told him, so if you want to take initiation, you go and take bath from Yamuna, and I'll give you initiation. I'll give you the mantra. So Gop Kumar went, took a bath in Yamuna and came to him. So then this man gave him the mantra. Dashakhar, 10-syllabled Gopal mantra. And then he was explaining the mantra to him. And some parts the mantra couldn't be explained by words. So he explained it by mudra or by symbols. And so while he was explaining about how to chant the mantra and how to practice the mantra, he fainted in ecstasy, he fainted in ecstasy. And then when he got up,
from his ecstasy or got up, when he came back to his senses, he simply got up and walked away. And so Gop Kumar, since he got the mantra from his guru, he kept on chanting the mantra very diligently. And sometimes he would go away from everyone and sit in one corner of the forest and, or on the bank of Yamuna, and he would chant the mantra. So then one day Gop Kumar saw a Brahmin. He was worshipping Shaligram Shila. So Gop Kumar approached him and he was told that this is Vishnu. The Shaligram Shila is actually Vishnu himself, and this Brahmin was very nicely, he was worshipping that Shila. Then after worshipping, the Brahmin put the Shaligram in the box. And so when Gop Kumar saw that the Brahmin put Shaligram in the box, he felt, why is he putting the Lord in the box? And he felt that this is, the Shaligram is non-different from the Lord, this is Narayan, this is Vishnu. And so he told him that why are you keeping the Lord in a small box like that? And why also you did not offer enough paraphernalia and materials to the Lord? And you are worshipping the Lord, but your worship was not opulent enough or gorgeous enough. So the Brahmin said, see, I am a poor Brahmin, and I don't have the means to worship the Lord very gorgeously. So whatever my means allows me, I just worship Him accordingly. But if you want to see some gorgeous worship of the Lord, then you go to that king, and this king is very pious, and there the Lord is present in the temple, and so he is worshipped there in a great grandeur. So Gop Kumar became interested, so he went to that, the kingdom of that king. And he saw, really, it's a beautiful temple, and the Lord was present there in the temple in his four-armed form, and the Lord is worshipped with great opulence. So Gop Kumar was very happy, and he just stayed there. He would take some prasad, sometimes they would offer him some prasad, and he would sleep on the somewhere on the corner of the temple, in the corner of the temple somewhere. And this way he was passing his time just in the association of the deity of the Lord, and he was very happy. So in the meantime, the king died, and the king didn't have any successor to the throne. So the ministers decided to look for a qualified person with all the symptoms of the king in his person to make him the king. So when they were looking for a qualified person to become the king, to ascend the throne, so they found all the divine qualities, or also divine qualities, all the royal qualities in the person of this boy, Gop Kumar. So they made him the king. So Gop Kumar became the king. Although he became the king, but he dedicated all his time and energy in serving the Lord. And he took care that the Lord is worshipped very nicely, and all the sadhus get duly worshipped and duly taken care of. And so Gop Kumar was very nicely taking care of the Lord and his devotees as the king. But then he would see that sometimes people do not give proper honor to the Mahaprasad. So he felt very upset that these people, they don't give due honor to Mahaprasad. So he decided, he was very upset. So then he was told by someone that actually the Lord is present on the eastern sea, on top of a mountain called Niladri. And there, Lakshmi Devi herself cooks the prasad for the Lord. And there, Lord's prasad is distributed to anyone and everyone, and everybody honors the prasad with full respect. So, Gop Kumar decided to go there. So finally he set out, he left his kingdom and he went to Jagannath Puri. And there he saw the beautiful form of the Lord with his brother Balaram and sister Subhadra. And there he worshipped the Lord and he was spending his time in the association of the Lord, like living in the temple and taking just a little bit of Mahaprasad. So then, one day, the king died. And the prince, he did not want to become the king. The king's son didn't want to become the king because he was quite detached himself and he wanted to dedicate his time and life in the service of Lord Jagannath. So then, Gop Kumar was made the king there. And when he became the king, he dedicated all his time to serving the Lord. And so this way he spent many, many years there. And then finally one day Lord Jagannath told him to go back to Braj. The Lord described the glory of Vrindavan to him, glories of Vrindavan to him, and he was told to go back to Vrindavan. He said that land of Vrindavan is non-different from spiritual sky, and there the inhabitants of Vrindavan are the greatest devotees. So Lord Jagannath asked Gop Kumar to go back to Vrindavan for his spiritual advancement. So Gop Kumar went back to Vrindavan, but then he was feeling very bad due to the separation from Lord Jagannath, because in Vrindavan he couldn't see the form of the Lord, because the Lord's form was missing there at that time. So he wanted to see the Lord, so he set out for Jagannath Puri. So on the way, he met some Brahmins, and they told him about the glories of heavenly planets and the glories of Indra, that what a great devotee Lord Indra is. So Gop Kumar decided to go to Indra, go to Indra Loka. And with the potency of the mantra, soon he was elevated to Indra Loka. Actually the chariots came from Indra Loka and he was taken to Indra Loka. And there he was taken to Indra Dev, and there he met the Lord as the younger brother of Indra, Upendra, as Bhavana Dev. And so he was very happily situated there. And Bhavanadev Upendra was very, very affectionate to him, and sometimes he would offer him some prasad himself. And Gop Kumar also rendered personal service to the Lord. So that way he was very, very happy there. Then one day he saw, one day Indra, polluted a wife of a brahmana, and then due to the being afraid of being cursed by a brahmana, Indra disappeared. Indra ran away and hid in some mountain caves. So the land of Swargaloka became bereft of the king Indra. So all the demigods, they made Gop Kumar the Indra. And so although he became Indra, he didn't live in the palace. He used to live in Mandankana, the garden of the heaven. And he was very respectful to Aditi, Indra's mother. And although Sachi Devi became his wife, but still he did not even touch her. He respected her as his mother, and he stayed away from the opulence of heavenly planets, and he used to live in the garden And he was simply dedicating his time and life in serving the Lord there. So then one day he saw a very powerful personality, a great powerful saint came to heavenly planets, and all the people, all the demigods in heavenly planets were offering him great honor. So Gopi Kumar wondered who this particular person is. So then Brihaspati told him, oh, you don't know, this is sage Bhrigu. He is going to the earth planet for pilgrimage, and he stopped on his way in the heavenly planets. He's actually coming from Mahaloka. And then he explained that the lower planetary systems, including the heavenly planet, is destroyed at the time of Pralay, at the time of destruction or devastation. But up to heavenly planet, everything is destroyed, but this Mahaloka is never destroyed. So Gopi Kumar wanted to go to Mahaloka. And as he desired to go to Mahaloka, with the potency of the mantra, he was elevated to Mahaloka. And he stayed in Mahaloka for some time, and then he was told that higher than Mahaloka is Janaloka. And although at the time of annihilation, the Mahaloka is not destroyed, but the heat of destruction reaches the region of Mahaloka, and the place becomes so hot that they leave Mahaloka and go to Janaloka. So Gopi Kumar went to Janaloka, and then when he was in Janaloka, then one day he saw a little boy, five or six year old boy, but very brilliant, very effulgent. And this boy was completely naked. So he wondered who that was. And everyone in Janaloka were offering him great honor and worship. So all the sages were offering him great worship. So he wondered who that person was, and he was told that this is Sanat Kumar, one of the four Kumaras. And he came from Tapaloka, and he has other three brothers, those who look just like him. And although they are the first sons of Brahma, but they are just like some little boys. They are actually the oldest living entities next to Brahma. But their form is just like that of a boy, and they never grow older. They're just like 5 or 6 year old boy, and then they're so much absorbed in the thoughts of the Lord, and they're so engrossed in meditating upon the Lord, that they don't have any external consideration. They don't have any external senses. So that's why they don't wear any clothes, and they just move around like that, like four little naked little boys. And then Gopi Kumar wanted to go to this Tapaloka. So with the potency of his mantra, he was elevated to the Tapaloka. And in Tapaloka he saw these Kumars, and so one day he asked them something, where the Lord was, but the Kumars didn't answer him. So they were just sitting there in a trance. And so Gopi Kumar, after a while, he realized that they were actually absorbed in a trance. So that's why they didn't hear his words. So then Gopi Kumar was instructed by the four Kumars, that actually we don't have to look for God anywhere else. God is there in our hearts, and we simply have to meditate upon Him. And they went to a trance again, and then Gopi Kumar saw the form of Narayan and different incarnations of the Lord in the person of these Kumars. So he became very afraid,
he realized that these are actually not none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he began to offer prayers to them that, please forgive me, I mistook you, I couldn't really recognize who you are. And then one of the Kumars, I think Sanatan, touched him by his hand. And then Gopkumar also went into a trance, and he saw the Lord inside him, and he also saw the Lord outside him. So he saw the Lord everywhere. So then, so this way Gopkumar was very happily situated in Tapaloka. Then one day Brahma came. One day Gopkumar saw a four-headed personality, and he wondered who that person was. And so he was told that he was actually the grandfather Brahma. And he was told about the Brahma Loka, the most elevated platform of this planet, this universe. And there Brahma is surrounded by the great Brahmarshis, the self-realized souls. So Gopkumar wanted to go there. And with the potency of the mantra, he was elevated to the Brahma Loka. And so in Brahma Loka, he saw the Lord was instructing Brahma. And when Gopkumar went, the Lord was very happy and said, oh, so nice that you came. And Lord actually placed his hand on his head and blessed Gopkumar. So Gopkumar stayed in Brahma Loka for many, many years. So in the meantime, one day, Brahma playfully touched the foam on top of a wave in the Karan ocean. Not Karan ocean, Garbha ocean. And as he touched the foam, a fierce looking demon actually appeared. And Brahma became afraid and he ran away from there due to fear from that demon. So Brahma Loka didn't have a Brahma. So Gopkumar was made into a Brahma. He became a Brahma. And when Gopkumar became Brahma, then he appointed all the devotees in the important positions, and he decided to turn this whole universe into a platform of devotees, or planet of devotees. So he appointed Indra and Surya and Chandra. All devotees were appointed in that position. And he was taking care of the affairs of this universe and tried to make everyone into devotees. And so it was very wonderful. So when he was spending time like that, there, one day, he was feeling the separation of Lord Jagannath. And then Lord Jagannath came to him and instructed him on the spiritual sky and told him that told him to go back to Vrindavan, and there he would meet his guru, and his guru would give him further instruction. So that reminds me, when he was in Jagannath Puri, Gopkumar felt that he has achieved everything. He got the Lord's association, Lord's darshan, so there is no need to chant the mantra anymore. So he stopped chanting. So then one day he saw the Guru having a darshan of Lord Jagannath, and then he went and offered obeisances to his spiritual master. The spiritual master was very happy to see him, and spiritual master told him that not to give up chanting the name under any circumstances. So under any circumstances you should chant, you should stop chanting. So anyway, this part I missed too, I forgot. Actually, this is the whole book, and I'll be missing many, many points here and there, so please forgive me. So, Jagannath told him to go back to Vrindavan, and there he'll meet his guru again. So, Gopkumar went to Vrindavan, and as he went to Vrindavan, as he came to Earth planet, he saw that with the effect of time, everything has changed. Because
He spent so many years in Brahma Loka, so where Brahma's day consists of 1,000 Chaturjuga. 1,000 Chaturjuga makes a day of Brahma. And another 1,000 Chaturjugas make a night of Brahma. So that way Brahma has weeks, months, and years. So Gop Kumar spent so many years there, such a long time in Brahma Loka. So when he came, he saw that the earth planet has changed completely. But still, Vrindavan is still the same. Vrindavan didn't change at all. The Govardhan Hill is there, Jamuna River is there, the forests are there, the cows are grazing there, and the cowherd people are there. So Gop Kumar became very thrilled to see Vrindavan. But he saw that none of his old acquaintances were there. They all had left. And so he kept on looking for his guru in the forest of Vrindavan. And one day he saw his guru standing nearby. So guru saw him and embraced him. And then the guru started giving him instructions, further instructions on the holy name. So when he got the instructions from the guru, and began to chant the holy name. So this time, he just shoot out for the outer region. And he shoot out and saw that all these planets, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapoloka, and Sattaloka, they disappear out of his vision. And then he came to the layers of material nature. 8 layers of material nature. The first one was the layer of earth. So he saw the earth personified was worshipping Varaha Dev there. So he worshipped, and this place was so full of opulence, and the Lord was so gorgeously being worshipped. So Gop Kumar offered his obeisances to the Lord and the devotees. Then he went to the next region, the region of water. There the Lord was being worshipped as Meena, as the fish. And here the opulence or enjoyment is 10 times greater than the previous one, the earth layer. So this way, the next he went to the fire layer, then he went to the air layer, and then he went to the ether layer. In fire layer, Lord Vaishana was being worshipped, and then the other four layers were, in the other four layers, Vasudev, Pradyumna, Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha were being worshipped. Then, beyond that, he came to the layer of, the mind, then he came to the region of mind and intelligence, where Vasudev was being worshipped. In the region of false ego, Shankarshan was being worshipped. So then crossing that region of mind and intelligence and false ego, he came to the region of material nature. Maya personified had her region. And this place was like deep darkness, and the complexion, color of that place looked like the complexion of the Lord, or that kind of darkness. It was semi-night, and so that reminded of him of the Lord. And there he saw that Maya was worshipping the Mohini Murti of the Lord. So when Gop Kumar was there, then material nature, actually, or Maya, invited him to stay there. He said, "Why don't you stay with me and we will enjoy together?" But Gop Kumar, he just offered his obeisances to material nature, or Maya, and he just
set out for the next region.
Hmm.
So when he came to the next region, that was the region of Brahma Jyoti. And in that region he felt very disturbed because he couldn't see the Lord. Otherwise all along he was seeing the Lord all the time. And there was, he felt that he was losing himself. It's something like he was losing his identity, he was losing his consciousness. Not losing his consciousness, but he was somehow losing his identity. Because he was forgetting the Lord and becoming oblivious of the Lord, and he was losing his identity. And then he would shake himself up, and he was feeling very, very disturbed. So that is the region of Brahma Jyoti. And then he began to pray to the Lord that please, please help me. And he was praying to Lord Jagannath. Then he heard the sound of some instruments, drums and flute and semai and pipes and the sound of Sankirtan. And sitting on a bull, he was stark naked, and his complexion was white as camphor. And with him, there is a very divine-looking lady who was sitting on his lap, and he was surrounded by his devotees, and all his devotees were singing his glories. So he became very surprised to see him, and he wondered, who is this person? And then Nandishwar, the associate, this was actually Lord Shiva, and so Lord Shiva's associate Nandishwar told him, oh, you do not know, this is Lord Shiva. And he explained, although Narayan is the Supreme Personality and he doesn't have any second, but Lord Shiva is non-different from Narayan. And he explained that this Lord Shiva is actually an expansion of Narayan, non-different from Narayan. So this way he gave him advice and told him that, why don't you stay with us? And he said that this is our Lord Shiva can give mukti to anyone. And so why don't you attain your liberated state and just be with Lord Shiva? So Gop Kumar declined. And then he was elevated to the Vaikuntha planet. Then Lord Shiva began to instruct him on the supremacy of Vaikuntha planet. That how Vaikuntha is the highest, and Lord of Vaikuntha is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he actually is just a menial servant of that Supreme Lord. And he told him that this land of Vrindavan is non-different from the Lord's abode. So he asked him to go back to Vrindavan. So Gop Kumar went back to Vrindavan, and then he heard about Vaikuntha. He was meditating on Vaikuntha. So all of a sudden a chariot came, it was driven by some four-armed personality, and they took him to Vaikuntha. This ship was moving at a tremendous speed, much faster than the speed of mind, and it reached the gate of Vaikuntha in a very short time. And so this personality who was riding the chariot, he told him that you just wait in the gate for a while, I'll go and announce your arrival in Vaikuntha. So Gop Kumar was waiting. Then he saw a personality with four arms, and he was holding a conch shell, lotus, disc and mace in his four arms. And he was beautifully decorated with all kinds of wonderful ornaments. And so Gop Kumar thought that this must be Narayan himself, the Lord himself. So he immediately offered obeisances and started to offer beautiful prayers to him.
So this person stopped him, says, please, please, please don't offer me this prayer. He said, I am not Narayana. You have made a mistake. I am simply a servant of Narayana, servant of the Lord. So then Gop Kumar, they're saying that he went inside. Then Gop Kumar saw another person came like that. So Gop Kumar again started to offer prayers, thinking that this is Narayana. But he also stopped him by saying that, please, please don't make me an offender. And he just closed his ears and said, no, I don't want, please don't offer me this kind of prayer. Because I'm not the Lord. The Lord is inside. And so in the meantime, this other Vaikuntha Vashi came, who brought Gop Kumar to Vrindavan and took him to the Lord. And the Lord was very happy. He said, oh Gop Kumar, I have been so eagerly waiting for your arrival. Actually, so many lives you have, although you had a chance, but you decided to remain oblivious of me. And although I wanted, I could have actually given you the liberation. But so now that you came, I'm very happy. So Gop Kumar remained in Vrindavan. I'm sorry, Vaikuntha, in the association of the Lord. He was very, very happy, enjoying the association of the Lord. Then, then Gop Kumar one day, in Vaikuntha, he was offered the Sharupa, the four-armed form of Vaikuntha Vasi. But Gop Kumar declined. He didn't want to take that form. He wanted his two-armed human form. So one day Narad Muni came, and Narad Muni asked Gop Kumar that how come you don't really, although this is a place of Vaikuntha, this is a place free from anxiety and lamentation, but how come you look not quite satisfied? So then Gop Kumar said that actually his heart is with someone. In his heart, he always looks for that boy, who is a young boy who wears peacock feather and who plays flute. So Narad Muni took him aside and told him that, look, what I've got to tell you now, no one in Vaikuntha actually should hear about that. So then he explained about the glories of that his heart was actually searching for Krishna. And Narad Muni told him that you will get not too far away from here, from this Vaikuntha Loka, there is the abode of Lord Ramchandra. And so beyond that abode is the abode of Dwarka. There the Lord is present, Krishna is present. So Gop Kumar, he set out for Ayodhya. He was chanting the mantra, and with the potency of the mantra, he was elevated to Ayodhya. And there he saw Lord Ramchandra, and he immediately offered Lord Ramchandra prayers, falling down on the ground. And Lord Ramchandra was very pleased. And Hanuman came and picked him up from the ground and took him to Lord Ramchandra. And so Lord Ramchandra was very affectionate to him. And then, but he didn't want to stay in Ayodhya. So he offered his obeisances to Ramchandra and he set out for Dwarka. And in Dwarka he saw the Lord Krishna surrounded by his assembly, Uddhav, Shaktaki, etc. And so the Lord was very pleased to see Gop Kumar. And so this way he was, then finally, he stayed there for a long time in the association of the Lord. And then the Lord finally one day told him about Vrindavan and how his associates in Vrindavan are actually most dear to him. And how in their separation he suffers so much that a moment appears to be like ages in separation from the gopis. And he told him to understand that the land of Vrindavan is non-different from Golok Vrindavan, and he advised him to go back to Vrindavan. So Gop Kumar went back to Vrindavan. And so when he was in Vrindavan, he was looking for the Lord, and he was passing his time thinking about the Lord's pastimes and chanting his glories. Then one day, all of a sudden, he got the darshan of the Lord. He saw Krishna with flute in his hand. He was just standing in front of him. So Gop Kumar immediately tried to catch his feet, or catch at least the edge of his cloth. But when he did that, Krishna swiftly shifted away from there and moved away from there. And then he, looking towards him, Krishna walked away into a bush. And Gop Kumar ran after Krishna, but he couldn't find him. And then in acute separation, he just fainted. So when Gop Kumar fainted, then he immediately was carried to Golok Vrindavan. So when he woke up, he found himself in Golok Vrindavan. And in Golok Vrindavan, he was searching for Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So in the meantime, yeah, this is another thing I forgot, it's an important thing. Like when he was in Vaikuntha, when he was in Dwarka, Narad Muni revealed all the pastimes of Vrindavan, that how Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are the most elevated, and how the gopis are his dearmost devotees. So all, and Krishna's pastimes of killing the demons and his pastimes with his associates have been described by Narad Muni. And after that, Lord instructed him to go back to home of Vrindavan on this earth planet. So then Gop Kumar got the darshan of Krishna, and then he was elevated to Vrindavan. Then he started to look for Krishna. Then he saw some ladies were picking flowers. So he asked them where Krishna was. But those people, those ladies, did not even hear him. And so he first wondered, are they all deaf? And then he realized that they must be in a kind of a trance, and that's why they didn't hear him. And then he noticed that they were, although they were picking flowers, but they looked like as if their life is not there. They look lifeless, as if mechanically they are just doing some work. And then he saw an old lady, so he asked the lady, can you please tell me where Krishna is? So this lady pointed out to a place, said, and so Gop Kumar walked towards that direction. And then he saw, came to a village, very beautiful village with beautiful palaces there and a lot of cows. So seeing that, he could make out that this must be the village of the cowherd people. And so he then he saw another lady, old lady. So he asked the lady, can you please tell me where Krishna is? So the lady pointed out to a house and says, that is the house of Nanda Maharaj. But now Krishna has gone to the forest to tend the cows. So he'll come back in the evening. And so Gop Kumar, he said the time of his arrival is nearing. So soon he'll see him coming. So then Gop Kumar was waiting, and then all of a sudden he saw that the horizon became filled with dust, as if a big dust storm came. And then he saw, then he heard the sound of the mooing of the cows and laughter of the boys. And then he saw the cows were coming from the pasturing ground, and in front were Krishna and Balaram surrounded by. And like in front was Krishna and Balaram, and then behind were other cowherd boys, and then the cows. So Krishna saw Gop Kumar, and then Krishna told Sridham
that Sridham, see who came back.
Says,
you're the best of your group. Swarup has come back. So wonderful. Saint Krishna ran towards Gop Kumar. And seeing Krishna, Gop Kumar also wanted to run towards Krishna. But his legs became numb. In acute ecstasy, he could move. He froze there. And Krishna jumped and embraced him. And when Krishna embraced him, just embracing him, Krishna fainted and fell on the ground. Oh, in the meantime, Krishna Balaram were coming, then all the inhabitants of Vrindavan just came out. We saw gopis carrying food for and other presents for Krishna, they just came out. Then some gopi were dressing herself, and she stopped, hurriedly finished her dressing and came out. So they were wearing wrong clothes at the wrong place. And so they all came out to see Krishna, and the whole place became full of joy. And then when they saw Krishna fainting, embracing Gop Kumar, then they all became very, very anxious. And they said, that, who is this boy? That who, is he, a, he must be a spy of Kamsa. So they know all kinds of tricks, and this boy must have, this person, let's be careful of him. And so this way they were very much in anxiety. Then Nanda Yasoda also came out, and they were lamenting, oh, what happened to Krishna, what happened to Krishna. Then Balaram came by, and seeing Krishna like that, Balaram knows Krishna's mind, so Balaram knew what happened. So Balaram told this boy, Gop Kumar, actually his name is Swarup, spiritual name is Swarup. So told him to embrace Krishna. So Balaram actually affectionately took his hands and put his hands around Krishna's neck. And according to Balaram's instructions, Gop Kumar told Krishna, 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 get up, get up. And then Krishna opened his eyes. His eyes were still tearful. And then Gop Kumar started to dust his body. And so Krishna became very joyful and kept embracing him tightly. And then Krishna got up and he began to walk towards his father's house. And so the deers that were following Krishna could not go any further. They just stopped there, and with a very longing eyes they just kept on looking at Krishna. And Krishna also was looking back to the deers. And then the deers stayed there for the night, waiting for the next day to meet Krishna again. And then the birds were flying above Krishna's head for a distance. They kept on flying around. And then they also went back to their nests. And then Krishna and Balaram were taken to the house. Then Mother Yasoda was, and Rohini was so happy to see Krishna that milk began to flow from their breasts, and tears also were flowing from their eyes, and their whole body was soaked with milk and tears. And so they embraced Krishna and Balaram. So then they said, now come, we'll give you a bath. And then the gopis, the cowherd girls there, they said, better you prepare Krishna Balaram's prasad, because they must be very hungry. And we will bathe Krishna and Balaram in the meantime. So saying that, Mother Yasoda agreed to that proposal. So she allowed the gopis to give a bath to Krishna and Balaram. And they went, Rohini and Yasoda Devi, went to prepare food for Krishna. Or food was already prepared to make the place for Krishna and to make the arrangements for their prasad. So then the gopis first bathed Balaram, and told Balaram, now you go and get your father. And Nanda Maharaj for Prasad, and in the meantime we will bathe Krishna. So they began, so first they dusted Krishna's body with their own, the edge of their cloth, and then they rubbed a very wonderfully perfumed oil in Krishna's body. And although they were rubbing Krishna's body with a with their very soft and tender hands, but still Krishna cried out as if in great pain, as if they gave him a great pain. So he cried out, and immediately Mother Yashoda came out running. So what happened? What happened to my Krishna? And then when she saw Krishna's face was lit with a beautiful smile, so she was relieved and she went back to cook again. And then the cowherd girls bathed Krishna with the water of Yamuna that was kept in golden vessels. And then they dried Krishna and dressed him with a beautiful silken cloth. And then they were decorating with sandalwood pulp Krishna's forehead and cheeks and neck. And Krishna also would playfully, they would put the marks on Krishna's head or forehead or cheeks, and Krishna would playfully wipe it out, saying that, well, I don't like this design. And then they would again start to decorate Krishna's forehead and cheeks. And this way Krishna was giving them a chance to touch him. And then where at that time Nanda Maharaj and Balaram appeared, so just the gopis just left Krishna alone. And Krishna with his father and brother went to take prasad. So Nanda Maharaj sat down. On the right hand side of Nanda Maharaj sat Balaram, on the left hand side sat Krishna. And Swarup was allowed to sit next to, close to Krishna. And then Mother Yashoda came and served all kinds of nice prasad. And Krishna took the prasad. And then Krishna would see that the gopis, those who made the prasads, and they were hiding behind the curtain and very eagerly looking at him. So just in order to please them, Krishna would say that, this prasad is so nice. then he would look at this, the gopis that are hiding behind the curtain, and they would exchange glances. And this way Krishna was giving pleasure to these gopis. And then Mother Yashoda kept some prasad that was cooked by Dadarani. They are laddus, a kind of sweets, sweet balls called laddus, called Manohara laddus. And so knowing that Radharani actually made that, so Krishna just picked up a little bit from with his fingers and he put it in his mouth, and he cried out, "Oh, so bitter." So Mother Yashoda became very much worried. What happened, Krishna? And she thought that what happened to Radharani, that she made the sweet so bitter today and so untasty. And Nanda Maharaj was wondering why Radha made such bitter sweet balls. And then Krishna was passing, he would take some prasad and he would pass the prasad to Swarup Gop Kumar, giving him remnants. And then Krishna threw the laddu to Gop Kumar and saying that since you belong to her brother's clan, so maybe, Krishna said, since Swarup belongs to her brother's clan, so maybe Swarup will like it, saying that he gave the sweets to Swarup. And then Radharani, then Yashoda Mai looked at Radharani with with a glance, like, what happened, with an inquisitive glance. And then Radharani was very embarrassed and also disappointed. She looked at Krishna, and Krishna looked at her from the corner of his eyes with a smile. So Radharani realized, and Kumar also realized, that this was actually Krishna's childhood, Krishna's playful jokes. And yeah, and when Gopkumar tasted that, he felt that this was the most delicious of all the preparations. And so then he was wondering why Krishna was doing that. And then he saw Krishna and Radharani were exchanging glances. So he realized that this was Krishna's joke. And so after finishing prasad, Krishna took some, washed his mouth. Then Radharani put some betel nut and betel leaves in Krishna's mouth. And Krishna lay on the bed, and Chandravali and Lalita were pressing Krishna's lotus feet, and other gopis were somewhere fanning Krishna with a chamar or peacock fan. In the meantime, Sridham came to the room and told Swarup, now let us go, saying that he took him to his room. So this way, Gopkumar entered into Krishna's pastimes. So does anybody have any question?
Bhagavad-gita, and then one who returns to my body, he will never go come back again. And it is also stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita that one who is in full love of Godhead can still come down.
Yeah. Regarding that, Prabhupada said, once bitten, twice shy.
What did he say?
Once bitten, twice shy. Like, once you go back to Godhead, and once you have the experience of the material nature, then you don't feel like coming back here again. Because you know what a disgusting place this is. So that's why once one has an experience of the material nature, he never feels like coming back here. But when Gopkumar came back from Vaikuntha to Vrindavan, he didn't come to the material nature, he came to Vrindavan, which is non-different. Is there any other question?
I was also reading that Brahmaloka is the space between the Vaikuntha planets.
Brahmaloka or Brahmajyoti?
No, Brahmaloka.
Space between, no, Brahmaloka is actually, you see, beyond, below Brahmajyoti is Mahishloka. Koloko namni nijadhamni tale cha tasya. Devi Mahesha Hari Dhamma Dinsutesu. Golok is the highest, and below Golok is Hari Dhamma. Below Hari Dhamma is Mahesh Dhamma, the abode of Lord Shiva. And below the abode of Lord Shiva is Devi Dhamma, the place of Maya, Mahamaya, the material nature. So, and it is, Brahmaloka is the topmost planet of the Brahmanda. Beyond Brahmaloka is the layers, the causal layers, eight layers of material nature: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego and Maya. So, no, mind, intelligence, and Maya. So, I don't know what it means, but yeah, maybe.
I was reading also Siddhaloka, that is space between.
Like,
Siddhaloka or Brahmana?
No, Siddhaloka is even below that. Bhur Bhuva Sha Maho Janu Tapu Shakta. And Siddhas and Charanas, they live
far below.
So because this Brahmini was tested many times, because Maya he told to enjoy with them, and then also Shiva he told to stay with them, see the Brahman, see our planetary system, so many tests anyway, you have so many tests before to go to actually the spiritual world, associate with Krishna. This is every devotee seeking before to return back to Krishna.
Everybody have to go through the test. Yeah, because you see, Maya's business is to keep the living entities in the material world. Or we can say Maya's business is to is not to allow an unqualified person to go back to God. Right? So that's why she tests them. So we must know it well, that Maya is always going to test us. Finally, she may even offer herself to us. But what should we say at that? Offer obeisances and tell them, please help me to go back to Krishna. Then Maya, Mahamaya, will become transformed into Yoga Maya and she will take us back to Krishna. Right?
Yes.
Actually, Maya doesn't necessarily mean all bad. Maya, when we are bad, then Maya is cruel to us. Right? When we are offending, we are envious of Krishna, then Maya beats us with a rod. Right? Each time we say, I am the Lord, then there comes the rod of Maya on us, right? On our back. Right? But when you become a servant of Krishna, then the same Maya helps us as Jiva. Any other questions?
These times when he came back to Vrindavan, is it incarnations on his way? When he's incarnating again on earth planet? How is it?
You see, when you consider the spiritual aspect, then body becomes irrelevant. It is the spirit that matters. Naturally, in order to go to Brahma Loka, you need a suitable body. Right? But the body is what? It's only an outer cover. But it's the spirit that matters. Right?
Yeah.
Like for instance, you know, when you are in India, you wear a thin cotton dhoti, right? And a kurta. Right? But when you come to Switzerland in winter, right, you wear a heavy coat and, you know, cap and so on and so forth. The same way, you see, when you go from one planet to another planet, you have to wear a suitable body. So you may change the body, but the spirit remains the same. And so spirit goes up, spirit goes from one place to another. It's the same spirit. It's the spirit of Sarup. Going from one place to another. So, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.